This is Radio Energy News.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Radio Energy. This is the news at 4, and I'm your presenter, Carly Bell. It's like Groundhog Day. Here we go again with Brexit dominating the headlines. Mass resignations have befallen the Prime Minister's cabinet once more, with the departure of now ex-Brexit Minister Dominic Raab and now ex-Secretary for State and Work and Pensions Esther McVeigh. In the last hour, the Vice Chair of the British Conservative Party, Raymond Christie, has also resigned. Parliament exploded today with accusations of the Prime Minister failing the British people coming from both sides of the House. And staunch Eurosceptic Jacob Rees-Mogg has launched a Brexit coup against Theresa May with a call for a vote of no confidence on the Prime Minister. With two members of her top team resigning today, Theresa May is under renewed pressure to resign as Prime Minister. In today's session in the House of Commons, May had to defend the Brexit agreement against criticisms from across the political spectrum in Parliament. Jacob Rees-Mogg, outspoken Eurosceptic and frequent critic of May, has replied to allegations that he is trying to lead a coup against the Prime Minister by submitting a letter of no confidence today.
I think a coup is when you use illegitimate procedures to try and overturn somebody who is in office. This is working through the procedures of the Conservative Party. It is therefore entirely constitutional. Coup is the wrong word.
Amid mass resignations from ministers of her government and widespread criticisms of her planned Brexit deal, Prime Minister Theresa May has defended her Brexit agreement in Parliament. The Prime Minister called for support, claiming there are three choices: no deal, no Brexit, or her deal.
We can choose to leave with no deal, we can risk no Brexit at all, or we can choose...
We can choose
to unite and support the best deal that can be negotiated.
Responding to the Prime Minister, opposition leader Jeremy Corbyn claimed May's government was in chaos and said that the deal breached the Prime Minister's own red line and after 2 years had produced nothing but a botched deal.
The government, Mr. Speaker, is in chaos. Their deal risked leaving the country in an indefinite halfway house without a real say.
Corbyn said that the government could not put the deal to Parliament in its current state.
The government simply cannot put to Parliament this half-baked deal that both the Brexit Secretary and his predecessor have rejected. Yeah. No deal is not a real option, and the government has not seriously prepared for it.
Meanwhile in Europe, Michel Barnier, chief negotiator for the EU in the Brexit negotiations, laid out the specifics of the deal struck with the UK last night in more specific detail, but cautioned that there was a long road ahead for both sides to see the deal through.
What we have agreed is fair and balanced, takes into account the UK's positions, and ensures no hard border on the island of Ireland, and lays the ground for an ambitious new partnership.
President of the European Council Donald Tusk said that he did not share the Prime Minister May's enthusiasm for the deal and said that since the beginning of Brexit had been a lose-lose situation and that the negotiations have only been about damage control. Tusk did say, however, that he would try to make the transition as painless as possible for the British people.
Finally, let me say this to our British friends. As much as I am sad to see you leave, I will do everything to make this farewell the least painful possible, for both for you and for us.
Scotland have not welcomed Theresa May's Brexit draft deal that takes the country out of the European single market. Scottish Brexit Secretary Michael Russell in his statement at Holyrood today claimed that this deal would lower the standard of living for Scottish citizens.
But this is a sad day nonetheless. A day in which spin, rhetoric, the misuse of funds and the manipulation of electoral legislation has led to the worst and most damaging decision made by a UK government in any of our lifetimes. A day in which the UK government has attempted, voluntarily and for its own selfish political purposes, to actually lower the standard of living for all the citizens of Scotland.
John Edwards, a spokesperson for A People's Vote Scotland, came into the studio to share his views on the draft with my colleague Lynn Rusk.
I suppose the positive thing is we have a bit of paper. Oh, we have 500 bits of paper. The problem has been since the referendum in 2016, there's never been a plan for leave. There never was a plan for leave. It was a backlash against all sorts of things. So they've struggled for over 2 years to try and define what it is they wanted to leave for. And this is the first serious attempt to do that. So that's, in one respect, it's a step forward, I guess, because we've got something to focus on. But, I mean, as the reaction to it coming out has proved, it was never going to be easy. And this is just a few chickens coming home to roost, actually.
The draft deal apparently allows Northern Ireland to remain in the EU customs union. John Edwards makes an argument that Scotland should fight for a similar deal.
You could make the point that Northern Ireland and Scotland were the only two parts of the United Kingdom to vote Remain in 2016. One of them now has a seemingly special deal or separate arrangement, and the other one doesn't. And, you know, both of them are very different from the southeast of England. Both of them want inward migration. Both of them need as much international trade as they can get. So anything that's a barrier to that is going to be a problem for either of them. And, you know, it's the job of the First Minister here, as it is in Cardiff and in Belfast when they have one, to stand up for their country.
Among the five ministers that resigned today is Northern Irish MP Shailis Varga, who stated that he cannot support Theresa May's agreement. Sinead Bradley from the Social Democratic Labour Party of Northern Ireland is member of Northern Ireland's Legislative Assembly representing South Down, a constituency on the border with the Republic of Ireland. She says that while the draft isn't going to please everyone, it is worth considering.
We're looking at the proposal, and today is a day for banking that backstop, because it does speak to some of the economic interests of Northern Ireland and social interests. It's not perfect. It's far from perfect, and I don't think anybody believes it is, but it is worth banking at this stage.
John Manley, the political correspondent for Irish News, said that while the nationalist parties of Northern Ireland are very opposed to Brexit, the general consensus is that this deal is ultimately good for the country.
Sinn Féin is just reticent. I don't think they want to jump in with both feet into this. Obviously, they, you know, nationalism generally, that's Sinn Féin, the SDLP, and even as far as the Alliance Party, which are usually characterised as the middle ground in Northern Ireland, they are opposed to Brexit. You know, that they are the opinion that there is no good Brexit. But I'm getting a sense that they're thinking, well, this is the best deal that's on offer. And if there is going to be a Brexit, it is potentially good for Northern Ireland.
Meanwhile, Arlene Foster, the Northern Irish First Minister and leader of the Democratic Unionist Party, which currently hold a majority vote in Northern Ireland, said that this agreement would divide Northern Ireland from the UK. Mr. Manley stated that Northern Ireland been acting separately from the rest of the UK for some time.
There is no same-sex marriage in Northern Ireland. There is not the 1967 Abortion Act. For example, in the past, the DUP has advocated for a separate corporation tax rate for Northern Ireland. So some people would argue, well, on occasions you're happy enough for Northern Ireland to be different from the United Kingdom. What is wrong with this? They would argue that this situation is being, the set of circumstances is being imposed by the European Union, and that they will not have any say in the matter, which is, to an extent, true.
And now over to Gemma Stroyan with today's other news.
The opening of the new Edinburgh Royal Hospital for Sick Children has been delayed once again due to incomplete building works. Our correspondent Louise Wiley was at the Old Children's Hospital this afternoon.
I'm here at the site of Edinburgh's Royal Hospital for Sick Children near the Meadows. The street is quiet but busy, and busier than it should be. The hospital should have moved to the new site being built on the other side of the city. However, the opening of the new Royal Hospital for Children and Young People on the site of Edinburgh's Royal Infirmary is facing delay. Jim Crombie, the Deputy Chief Executive of NHS Lothian, said in a statement that building works at the hospital was still ongoing and needing completion. He added, "We are also liaising with our building contractors to agree a date for completion of the outstanding works as a matter of urgency." Crombie also extended his apologies for delays to patients, staff and families, and thanked them for their continued patience in the circumstances. A Scottish Government spokesperson said, "NHS Lothian is working closely with the project company to resolve any issues and confirm a revised handover date."
Leith Theatre this week unveils its first full-scale major production in over 20 years. The Last Days of Mankind commemorates 100 years since Armistice in the lovingly revived venue in Leith, which saw its last major production in 1988. With original songs from award-winning cabaret group The Tiger Lilies, the collective European cast is aptly drawn from Scotland, Germany, Poland, France, the Ukraine, Ireland and Serbia. This brings together a contemporary satirical piece of theatre to Edinburgh, marking the end of World War I. Here is what one member of the audience, Adam Barnett, had to say.
It's a superb idea. I think it's a beautiful old theatre, and I mean, it brought home tonight with this particular play how the location and the place of this theatre is so well suited to the play. So the whole, the combination of the play and the theatre was just superb.
Cast member Emma Lynn Harley also spoke about the performance and the unveiling of the space.
Before it was like all full of rubble, so it's been really nice to watch the kind of transformation between like it being like unsuitable to go in to with a hard without a hard hat on to this, which is like it's like a working theatre again.
The Last Days of Mankind continues this evening and Friday. And now for the sport with Louise Wiley.
The Scottish national football team has been hit by a number of prominent injuries as they prepare for Saturday's Nations League match against Albania. Aston Villa midfielder John McGinn picked up a calf injury and is the eighth player to withdraw from the squad. Scotland are currently second in the group and will also face Israel on Tuesday. Scotland player Graham Shinney spoke of the squad's hope for a World Cup qualification.
Us as a squad are obviously desperate to qualify as well, like the whole nation is. But yeah, we know sort of the importance of it, and like I said, we're all determined to try and do that for ourselves as a squad, but as a nation as well, to try and get to obviously a top competition. So it's something that we're working hard for.
Scottish rugby coach Gregor Townsend has made six changes to the national team following last week's win over Fiji. Scotland play South Africa at Murrayfield on Saturday and have lost the last five matches against the Springboks. Hugh Jones returns at centre despite criticism for his performance against Wales in October. Prop Gordon Reid has also been called up for the first time. And Hearts have made £1.8 million in profit over the last financial year. They released their annual accounts, which show an £800,000 increase in turnover. This comes during the continued renovation of Tynecastle Stadium. Owner Anne Budge announced the total cost of the work is expected to reach £18 million.
And now for the weather. The weather today in Edinburgh began bright and sunny with an unseasonable warmth about it this morning. This afternoon sees the arrival of some clouds with a high chance this evening that we might well see some scattered rain showers across the capital. The weather for the rest of the week and the weekend ahead looks to be fairly settled with sunny spells, but some colder temperatures are to be expected. And for the traffic update, on the roads today in Edinburgh, good traffic movement across the capital, but temporary traffic lights on Clark Street on the south side are causing some minor delays. There is a good service across the rail network around Edinburgh this afternoon, and the good weather is meaning flights are landing and taking off well at Edinburgh Airport with no major disruptions to note of. So to wrap up, we have seen a dramatic day in the Brexit developments, with Theresa May facing widespread rebellion amongst her own party and sustained attacks from Jeremy Corbyn's Labour. The Prime Minister has seen her draft deal be so torn apart by her cabinet, the likelihood of her getting it through Parliament is diminishing by the hour. Not only must she be worried about the risk of a no-deal Brexit if this deal is shot down in Parliament, but she is also facing calls for a vote of no confidence, led by Eurosceptic Jacob Rees-Mogg. This leaves us not only with the prospect of further delay to a deal being made with the EU about our departure, but the possibility of yet another leadership change within the Conservative government is growing ever more likely. And finally, some breaking news. Reports are coming in from Westminster that Michael Gove may be offered the Brexit Secretary role. Thank you for listening to the news on Radio Energy. Who knows what developments there may be to this Brexit process in the coming days.
Hear it. Feel it. Listen again at www.radioenrg.net.